I want to read from 1 Samuel 17, very familiar scriptures where David and Goliath. I've preached on these scriptures a lot through the years, and I'm sure many, many, many have. We find where the Philistines and the children of Israel would come together to battle. Yep. One was on one mountain, one was on the other mountain, and there was a valley in between them. Yep. There was a man named Goliath. He was, I believe, 6 cubits in a span. It's according to what you look at a cubit is. If you look at a cubit at 18 inches, he's around 9 foot 11 tall, something like that, if I remember right. If you look at it in the, as a 21 and a half inches, a cubit, he's around 12 foot tall. Either way, this is a great big old guy. And he took it upon himself, and he decided instead of them all battling, he said that you send one of yours out to fight against me, and if he wins, we'll serve Israel. But if I win, Israel will serve the Philistines. So every morning and evening, Goliath, he went out every morning and evening, and he called unto them. Come on down. Send a man down. Come on down here and fight with me. And we'll settle this right here, and we won't have to have a battle. This will all be settled right here. And the Philistines and the Israelites are sitting up here on both sides of this mountain watching this. And they're seeing this happen twice a day. The ones from Israel, the Bible says they was afraid. And so I'm sure they're talking among themselves, who have we got that could battle this? Who could we get to fight this man? And there were some of them were big in stature. David had a brother. When Samuel come to ordain who God would have to be king, he was great in stature, and he said, "Don't look upon him." He was there, so he would have been one you would have thought would have been a good and maybe to send. They're trying to figure us out. They're scared to death. Nobody's volunteering. Then here comes along. Jesse sends David to go down and check on, see how the battle's going. He sends 10 cheeses. I don't know what that's got to do with anything. But David gets down there, and here comes this Philistine out, and he goes defiling the army of a living God. And David said, What are y'all doing? Who is this Philistine that defiles the army of a living God? And why ain't nobody doing something about this? Then his brother, the one that's great in stature, he calls him out and says, I know your pride. I know how you are. You've come down here to show out what you've done. And David says, is there not a cause? Amen. And that's what he asks. So they take him before Saul, and Saul looks at him and says, you ain't nothing but a kid. You're just a youth. And this is a great man of war. Have you seen what you're asking for here? And then David goes explaining to him. And what I hope that we can see before we get done today, the things that we go through in life, I think a lot of times we think that people see God in us at church, and they should. They should. And I think they should see us when we're out there. But when you're in a spot that you're just absolutely feel like you're alone, you're in a battle that you just don't look like everybody else kind of. You ever been in that spot to where just people almost want to avoid you, kind of like Job, what you're going through, something like that? And it just seems like everything's going against you. But I want you to know that's when people really see God in you. It's when you're going through the trials, how you handle yourself. It's easy. I'll just be honest with you. It's easy to be a Christian or say you're a Christian when everything is great. Your family's doing well, finances is good, you're living in a nice house, everything's going real good, your kids are healthy, your spouse is healthy, everything in life is really, really great, and it's easy to go around and smile and try to be a light to the whole world. It's easy then put on your jacket on Sunday morning, grab your Bible up, put on your Sunday dress. You come to church and look at me. I'm a good Christian today. But I want you to know when things get tough, when your baby gets cancer, when you lose your child, when you lose your grandbaby, when you lose your husband, when you lose your wife, when you can't make your car payment, when you're about to lose your home and everything's going bad around you and your friends get where they don't want to come around and they're thinking, all of them are like with Job, what's going on here? Why is this happening to you, Job? What have you done? Then it's when you can really show God to people around you. Because then, if then you'll keep serving Him and if you'll keep putting your trust in Him, no matter what comes what may, I'm going to serve the Lord. That's when the world sees God. So these men, they're gathered on both sides of this mountain. And David, he tells, I don't even know where to start. Let's just start reading in the 33rd verse. And Saul said unto David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight. And this is the 17th chapter, the 33rd verse. Against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he be a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept thy father's sheep. And there came a lion and bear and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard. And I smote him and slew him. And the servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he have defiled the armies of a living God. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with an armor, and he put on the helmet and brass upon his head. And he arose, and he armed him with the coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he stayed to go, for he was not proved it. Amen. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took the staff of his hand and chose him five stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even a scrip and slung, and a sling was in his hand. And he drew near the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest out to me with these staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thee thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come unto thee in the name of the Lord, the host of God, of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. And this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thine head from thee, and I will give thee the carcass unto the host of the Philistines this day, and to the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that the earth may know that there is a God of Israel. And all of this assembly shall be known that the Lord giveth not with the sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you unto our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, and David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Philistine, and David put in his hand his hat in the bag, his hand in his bag, and he took thence a stone, and he slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon the face of the earth. And David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and he smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in his hand of David. And therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took the sword and drew it out of the shaft. And therefore he slew him and cut his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they are come into the valley of the gates of Ekron. And they wounded the Philistines, and they fell on the way of Shaaram, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And then with the mistakes we made reading, that's down to the 52nd verse. And I want to go over here and take for a text, and we're going to come back and preach on that and a few other places here in a little bit. Out of Romans chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherewith we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And listen, this is where our thoughts is coming from, these next couple of three verses. He said, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. So we find here how David had come to this place in his life. God had done been preparing him. He done been putting him through some trials, you might say, as he went along the way. He done fit and fought against the bear. And I don't know many of you, maybe you've went out with your bare hands and killed a bear. Maybe you've grabbed a lion by the beard. I don't know. Maybe you have slew one. I don't know about that, but I want to tell you what I think. I don't think this was nothing that David was figuring to be a blessing upon him when he was doing this. When he went out and fit that bear, and he killed that bear and got the lamb back. When he grabbed the lion by the beard, the king of the jungle, so to speak, he grabbed it by the beard and he slew it. No doubt he didn't think that was the easy thing to do, but it was preparing him. He was going through these trials along the way that he might be able to show the people who God was. So it comes time for him to go a battle against this old Philistine. And they're down in this valley. They meet down in there. They come together. All the men of Israel on one side, the men of the Philistines on the other side. I want you to know they're all about to find out who God really is. Because David, that old Goliath said, I'm fixing to cut your head off, and I'm going to give it to the fowls of the air. He was still running that mouth. He was still blowing. But David said, you come with a sword and all this armor, but I come in the name of God. And all them men heard it on both sides of the mountain. And he said, God is who's going to fight my battle for me. And I want you to know that's who will fight your battle for you. So it come to a time when they started going towards each other. He reached down and he got a stone out of that bag. He put it in that old sling. He gave her a few whirls and he let her go. Look at that old clock back under. I'd see that probably be by the side of his head. Maybe his height right yonder. It hit him right in the forehead and it brought him down. David didn't have a sword. Goliath had been running his mouth the whole time, never even got his sword out. He's done the dead and hadn't even got his sword out. He goes down over and stands on top of him, reaches down there and pulls it out of his shaft, and he takes and cuts his head off. And when the men of Israel saw that, and when the Philistines saw that, they knew God. They knew it was the God that David served was God. They knew then, and the children of Israel knew that God was going to win this battle for them. All of a sudden, they become real brave. Why did they become real brave? Because they had a great warrior in David? No, but they knew they had a great warrior in God. and they knew he was going to deliver. I want you to know, Steve, they're down in these deep valleys. When you're down in these deep valleys, and there's no hope except in God, if you'll trust in God, that's where he shows the world who he is. I used to go, I've told this here before, I used to go everywhere I'd go. I'd say, y'all pray for me that I'd have patience. Pray for me, I need patience. I finally, one day, read Romans chapter 5. It said, tribulation worketh patience. I thought, what in the world have I been doing? I went to every church in the country and asked them to pray for me to have patience. I was having enough trouble at the time. I promise you I was. But you have to go through the fire some. You have to get in that valley some for you to be proved. That's how we come proved. That's how God people see that God's in us. It's not coming to church on Sunday with your Bible in your hand. I done said dressed up and your Sunday best. It's good to do that, I really believe. But I want you to know if the world will see what you are when you're in your deepest valley. When you're fighting a bear, when you're fighting a lion, what's the biggest life in your life? I don't know, what has it been? When you stand there by faith in God and know God's going to deliver. Why do you know that? Because you've been there before. See, David had been there before, and that's what he said. He said, God delivered this bear to me. He delivered this lion to me, and he's going to deliver this uncircumcised Philistine unto me. See, he knew that because he'd done been through the trials before. If you never go through a trial, you'll never find out what you are. And I want you to know it's in these deep places is where you'll find out. There was one named Elijah. He come up and he asked him, I may not go read that, I may go read it, I don't know. But he come up and he asked him, he said, the children of Israel, how long will you be of two opinion? He said, if Baal be God, serve Baal. But if the Lord God be God, serve him. Now, I want you to know this man was, he said, he felt all alone. He felt by himself. He said, there's 400 prophets of Baal, but here I am. I'm left by myself. I'm the only one left. But he said, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to find out who God is. So he was willing to go up, and if God hadn't proved himself to Elijah there and all the people, I believe they would have killed Elijah right there. They tried to kill him afterwards anyway. But I want you to realize he went up against these prophets of Baal. He said, y'all build you an altar. You call upon your gods, and I'll call upon the Lord thy God, and wherever the fire comes down and consumes the altar, that'll be God. And they agreed to it, so they built him an altar. And they began to pray and call on the prophet Baal, and it got down to the point that nothing was happening. The people wasn't seeing anything. And so they begin to cut themselves. Where they'd hurt, bleed more, thinking he's their prophet. And Elijah said unto him, he said, what's happened? Is your God asleep or something? Or is he gone in a journey? He began to mock them, make fun of them. He knew they wouldn't. Their God wasn't going to answer because their God didn't exist. So they finally got to the point the altar was torn down. David went over and took 12 stones and struck the altar back there, dug a ditch around about it, told them to bring 3 barrels of water, pour them barrels out. Was it 4 barrels of water? 4 barrels of water, pour them barrels of water in there. And he said, do it a second time. They done it a second time. He said, do it a third time. He believed God. And he was fixing to show the people. Here he is by himself. He feels like he's the only prophet left of the Lord. And Elijah begins to pray. Come evening time sacrifice, he begins to pray. He prays the Lord. He said, you show them who you are. Amen. The fire come down from heaven. It consumed the altar. It sucked the water up out of the ditches and even the dirt on the ground. and all the people through this. And Elijah's faith said, the Lord, he is God. See, Elijah, he'd have been through some things, and he knew God was going to hear him. I want you to know what you're going through today. It may show your neighbor who God is. It may even show your enemies like it did. I believe it showed the Philistines. I believe that's why they run. Oh, they got to shouting over here on the side of Israel. That I believe it showed them who God was. Sometimes I see some of you go through things and I think, and I know I stay on this type of subject a lot, but we've been through a lot. I see a church go through things and I think, Lord, how are we going to come out of this one? Little Jace got hurt 2 or 3 weeks ago. Lance in Texas, and all it said was Jace was in a four-wheeler accident. Pray. Their life lightning, pray. And me and Sheila hit the floor and started praying. And I was so concerned about Jace, I was. But I was also concerned about you, brother. I was concerned about you and you. And you and I was thinking, how in the world, Lord, please, God, how are they going to come through? How is we as a church going to survive something else like this? How are we going to make it, Lord? Help, please, God, please, help. And y'all kept right on serving. Y'all never turned your back. You kept praying and asking for prayer. In that deep valley, I talked to Sister Judy from time to time on the phone, and she'll talk about her baby. She'll talk about her baby's so sick. They're having to give her a stone. I talked to Brother Tony and Sister Kathy out there in the yard today, and they tell me about what they're going through, and I think, how are we going to make it through this, Lord? But your neighbors are seeing you. The world is seeing you. When somebody like Daniel Creed, they go through what they go through, the whole country knew about it. I want you to know that's how we show the world God. When we're in that deep valley down yonder and we don't see, everybody else sees no hope for us. It ain't nobody give David a pity chance. A whooping on a Goliath. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think nobody thought the fire was going to come down to heaven and burn that altar up neither. But it did. Amen. When you're there, going through what you've been through, and you come out of it, walking with God, amen. That's how people see God. That's how, brother, when you're in a shower in California, praying, and you come out of it, and you go out, and you show the world God. That's how we show everybody around us God. When you live your life like I did for a while, no account, did you finally get down in the deepest valley of your life, and you stand up and you know God can help you. You've been through the trials. You've been through the fire. Y'all heard me talk about it. My pa had that old thing. He'd wind her up, heat the metal up, take it out, beat it, drop it down some oil, and then harden it. That's what we're going through. I try. Fire of your faith is more precious than gold. Why? Because it ain't just good for you. It's good for your neighbor. Heard of a king named Nebuchadnezzar. He built a golden statue. I don't know. I think I figured it up one time. It might have been 90 foot tall. Great big old thing. Stood out yonder. And he said every time the harp, the flute, and all these musical instruments would play, everybody was to bow and worship that golden image. I believe it was the Chaldeans come to the king and said, This Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they've not been falling and worshiping the golden image when the music's been played. And boy, that made the king mad. And he said anybody that didn't do that, they was going to fire the furnace up and they was going to put them in the furnace. I might read this one. Y'all pray for us. I've took all these antibiotics and steroids and stuff. I'm getting a little lightheaded. Whew. Didn't eat nothing this morning. That probably wasn't a good idea. He'll be all right. And then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake, and he commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was to be heated. Y'all excuse me. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. I can't hardly see. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the fiery furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men and took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, astonished and rose up and hasted and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto him, the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of fire, and the princes and the governors and the captains and the king counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose the body of the fire had no power, nor was a hair on their heads singed, neither their coats changed, nor the smell of fire passed on them. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath his angel delivered his servants, thus trusted in him, and changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, and that they not serve and worship any god except their own God. I want you to know everyone there that day was able to see who God was because they was willing to go into the fire. They said, whether we die or not, O King, whether we burn or not, O King, we will not worship your golden idol. And he cast them in the fire, and everybody, even the king, was able to witness who God was able to see God because they was willing to be cast in the fire. They was able to see God because Elijah was willing to go up against the prophets of Baal. They was able to see God because David had been through enough that he knew God was going to deliver him and fought against Goliath. So today, I don't know everybody's situations. That's one thing. I see like some people are different, but I grew up private. Me and my wife, for the first 8 years of our marriage, we lived right beside my mom and daddy. I mean right beside them. We had a single-wide trailer here, and their house was right here. There was once or twice they knew there was a problem. And that's because the problem got so loud that it come obvious there, not only them, probably everybody in the Crossroads Community Center. One night, my daddy come down there, and he said, "Son, let's go down here to the house." We went down there, and he set me down there, and he said, "You're going to keep your wife. You're going to have to start watching your mouth." I said, "Yes, Daddy." That's the only time my daddy ever had to sit me down and talk to me like that. So I don't know. Nobody else may know what you're going through. But some things we do know about. Some things we do know when people are going through things. And everybody in the country knows it. It becomes on the news. It comes out in the papers. Everybody knows. And that's when you have an opportunity to prove what you are. When everybody's looking, everybody's standing up on the mountain going, "What's going to happen? How's this going to go?" When everybody's standing around saying, "These men ain't doing it, King. How's it going to go?" That's when you have an opportunity. See, if you don't ever go through nothing in this, if everything goes smooth in your way, when that time comes, you know what'll happen? I read to you, Lou, last week about Ruth and Orpah. Orpah just turned around and just went back. When things got a little bit tough one time, Jesus told them some hard things to hear, that they was going to have to eat of his body and drink of his blood. They didn't understand that. They said it's a hard saying, and a bunch of them turned around and went back. Yeah. But there were some there. He said, "What about y'all, the 12? Are y'all going to leave me too? Are y'all going to turn and go back?" And they said, "Where else is it to go? Thou hast the words of truth." There wasn't nowhere else to go. There's been a time or two since I've been saved that I probably turned and went the other way for a while. But I always come back. And then about 20-something years ago, I guess it's been now, probably 25, 26 years, I don't know. It's been a while. I was at a place that I just didn't have nowhere else to go. Finally got down on my call to preach. I was at a place, my sweet wife, I love so much. I watched her start turning blue. She quit breathing. I made a covenant with God. I've tried my best to keep that covenant ever since. So I was somebody most people looked at just like they would have maybe Elijah, maybe David. And people was thinking, "How in the world is he going to make a difference? Look at him, what he is and what he's been through, what he's done. How can he ever make a difference?" And I come digging up out of that hole, drug up out of it, and I begin to try to serve my Lord, my God. And ever since, I've stood in that valley trying to fight against Goliath and show the people on both sides who God really is. I failed at that a lot. But I like to think there's been a few times when I walked off into the fire and I decided I wasn't going to serve God in Mammon, I was going to serve the Lord thy God. I walked off in the fire and he went in there weeping.
There was some stood around and said, didn't we just cast Boldin in there? Oh, Satan said, didn't we just not put him in a fire? Wasn't it just him? But God never left us. He never forsake us. There's been a few times that I prayed like Elijah. You say, oh, no, you ain't, Brother Jeff. Yes, I have. There's been a few times I prayed the fire down from heaven. You may not have saw it. But, honey, it was here. It was around me. And it consumed all my problems. And it just took them up and ate them up. There's been a few times like that. So, you want to show people God in your life when it gets bad, when it really gets bad. When your baby's dying. I've said this over and over, and I'm going to say it again because I'll never forget it. I watched my little sister take her last breath. I watched my family just be tore all pieces, and I stood in there and shouted. And I know y'all think this is crazy, but I can feel the presence of God coming to take her. The angels gathered around my little baby sister, carrying her up into the arms of God. Amen. I could feel the presence of God there so Amen. Real. And I watched my mama, my daddy, watch their baby girl, 38-year-old, die right there on that bed. And I watched my daddy lead my old mama out there from that house, walking her, trying to hold her. And heard us her droop down and crying. And my daddy saying over and over and over again, it won't be long, Mama. We'll be together again. It won't be long now, and they are. My mama showed me more about God, and my daddy showed me more about God that night than I ever have anybody from the pulpit. Or anybody ever did for me from the pulpit, because they knew their daughter had given a testimony and she was in heaven, and they knew they was going to be with her, and they was a witness to their family that night. So when you're there, that's when you get to show people who God really is. That's when God gets to show out. That's when he whoops Goliath. That's when he burns up the altar. That's when he stands with you when you're in the fire. And people are always going to say, God, Brother Sean, you got a song. I believe I'm done.